Talking about sharing your faith. And what I'd really like to do is coming up in the near future, in the next few weeks, I want to pull the pulpit off the stage for a couple of nights. And I'd like to bring, so I'm going to give some people some calls, some guys some calls, and we'll put these two chairs up here. And we're just going to sit and have a conversation. And I'm going to kind of do the message like that as I talk someone and tell someone and share with someone the Romans Road. And just kind of have a conversation with someone and lead them through the Romans Road. Somebody who believes, you know, one of you guys and stuff. And just bring them up here and just sit them down and have a conversation with them. Show you kind of what they're going through the Romans Road with someone looks like. And John's journey. And Paul's Colossians to the cross. So three different things. And maybe someday you might get an opportunity to use one of those. And where you're just sitting and having a conversation with someone and say, I'd like to take you to the book of Romans. Or the book of John. Or the book of Colossians. And show you how you could come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But tonight I got transitioned upon affirmation. You know, for last week we were talking about those questions to stir up in somebody's mind and get the conversation started in a spiritual direction. Tonight I want to look at somebody begins to say, I'd like to know more about that. And I'd like to know Christ as my Savior. What do I need to know about being a Christian? And some of the things that we can talk about and have a little bit of knowledge about. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray tonight for us as we look at your word. And I pray, Lord, you know the future. And you know what the future has in store for us. And Lord, if you give us more time on this earth to serve you, I pray that if you tarry this year and you wait and you've left us here to serve you and with a purpose, I pray that you might help us to be able to have a sit-down conversation or a conversation with someone at work like we've heard people talk about. And I'm just so pleased that there are people that are getting opportunities to share their faith. And I pray that you might help us to be able to talk about the things that we are going to talk about tonight, and to be able to share them with others. Bless our time tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. My first memory in life that I can remember, the thing I can remember first in my life was the first time I missed a day of school, and the first time I went to the hospital. My dad took me to the races, and I tripped over a bleacher and knocked all four of my front teeth out. The best part was I got to eat spaghetti and pudding for a week, and in first grade, that was a wonderful week for me. That's my first memory. One of my most vivid memories as a child was when I was 10 years old, and I heard here Pastor Baker talking about not knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And going home to my dad and saying, Dad, I don't want to go to hell. And I can remember sitting in my father's room next to his bed and him telling me about how Jesus Christ came as the Lamb of God and died on the cross for my sin, to take the penalty for my sin. And how if I believed in that and prayed and asked God to take my sins that he paid for on the cross, that I could go to heaven to be with him. And my dad didn't have a Bible college degree. He didn't really grow up in a Christian home. He came to church and he learned those things and he shared them with his son the best he could. He was a witness for Christ. And it's something that my best memory from when I was a child. the one that I remember the most. I remember him using that phrase about Jesus Christ being the Lamb of God. And the gospel makes a difference in people's lives. And as we have that conversation, it will change people's lives. So we want to talk about that. So you ask the question, you've begun to ask some of the things like, do you believe the Bible? Do you know what the Bible says about heaven or hell? Can I tell you why I go to church? What could I tell you about my best friend Jesus? Or some of these conversations to get the ball rolling, and they start talking. You could say, may I share some things with you from God's Word? I think this battery is dead, man. I think that's what because it's not even glowing tonight. So, anyways, may I share with you some things from God's Word? Can I talk to you about some things from God's Word? And the first thing that we want to, the most important thing, this whole message is the gospel. And we want to share that there is good news for those who are lost, and sin is going to lead them to a place of separation from God. And so I think the first thing that it's so important for us to establish and for someone to understand is that sin separates them from God. We talked about like little tools that you could use with a child, something like the wordless book or the Evangelcube or something. You start out with, our heart is filled with sin, and that's what separates us from God. And so we think about Romans 3, and that's usually the place we go to talk to people about man's sinful state and how God is holy. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. And in Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Sunday school, we were talking about this the other day. The word sin means miss the mark. Miss the mark. And I was saying, I can picture in this one science book that I have where we talk about accuracy and precision. There's a target, and we talk about the difference between those two words and how they are scientifically different and important. So I'm trying to teach kids what the difference between an accurate measurement is and a precise measurement is. And when I think, there's one thing that I just picture, I think about every time I see these four pictures, maybe I should have put them up here on the screen. But there's these bullseyes, and there's this one where there's the bullseye, and all four arrows are sticking right exactly center in the bullseye. And that's the idea that is absolutely accurate and precise. And the guy, the archer, is sitting there, you know, he's all excited because he's accurate and precise. And I sit there and I go, in this life, that's Jesus Christ, right? He, in all points, he was tempted like we are, yet without sin. He never did anything to defile himself. He kept the law perfectly. He was sinless and spotless before God. And then there's another target, and there's one where it shows accuracy, and the guy has one bullseye, but everything else is all over the place, and precision, and there's one where the arrows are all off in a far corner. But then there's one target where there's an arrow in the tree, there's one off the edge of the bullseye, there's one in somebody's hat, and there's the archery guy, and he looks embarrassed. And the guy who's standing next to him is hiding behind the tree. When I think about sin, what God wants from us is holy perfection. And we as people, we compare ourselves, right? And that's why there are so many people out there that think that they are good enough because they compare themselves to, and they can fill in the blank. I'm better than. And one of the things that we need to understand is the moment our sinful nature stands before a holy, righteous, and just God, we realize that we are sinful and we have missed the mark of perfection. And we need to understand that not only have we missed the mark, but this sin actually really leads to not only physical death, but eternal death and separation from God. When it says there in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, we all are going to die physically because we were born sinners. It is appointed unto man once to die. And that's what we've got coming for us. But for the person who doesn't know Christ, there's also that eternal death and separation from God forever. I think about that state and the eternal separation. There's a real, literal place called hell and a real, literal place called the lake of fire where sinners will go if they have not accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. In other words, as we share the gospel, I said we can't lie, right? I said that a few weeks ago. We can't sugarcoat the truth. And people who want to put the fact that there's a hell out of the picture and that there is a real punishment for sin, they dilute and cheapen the gospel and the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. I am so thankful that what God did for me when he died on the cross. And I understand what that means to me. It's changed my life. And when I realize the complexity and the gift that God has given to me when he died on the cross, I begin to realize how great he is. And I can worship him better. And I'm so glad that I talked about that night that I first accepted Christ as my personal Savior and believed in him and gave my life over to him and came to the cross for forgiveness. And someone spelled out, you know, Pastor Baker stood up here and spelled out, there is sin. And sin separates you from God, and it leads to physical death and ultimately eternal death. And I am glad that he was honest with me. If you go to the doctors and something is very terribly wrong with you, you wouldn't want them to skip over. And that's not fun, but you wouldn't want them to skip over that part. And we need to make sure that we are honest and we tell them that. But we need to let them know that if sin is so terrible and it sets us apart from God, and we begin to understand and realize that that's a big problem, and we all have that problem, is that there is a solution to the problem. And God planned and developed that solution. It's God's plan. It's his solution for the problem. It's a problem that's really too big. I try to. Like when, as a math teacher, I give kids a lot of problems. And I hear the joke just about every week. Okay? If math has, why doesn't math just get old and go fix its own problems? Or I get the one where it says find X, and they say X is right there, Mr. Wilson. So before I get going and give them homework or a test, I do their homework. I take their tests. A lot of times I write their tests, and I put together a practice test and everything. And so I know the solution to the problem before I give them the test, right? And as they're preparing and stuff, and they come to me and they're like, I don't know how to do this. And I always say, well, you came to the right place because I do, right? And God gave mankind a test, gave them free will. And sin entered the world, and death with sin. And all became sinners. And we all had the same problem. God did not create sin. He didn't sin. He is not the author of it. He gave man free will and a choice. And Adam sinned when he disobeyed God, and sin entered the world. But when God created man, and when he had a plan, he had a solution, and he's given that solution for us. Let's turn, if you're me, I'm in Romans chapter 3 still. So I got to turn one page. I like it when we only have to turn one page. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Some of my favorite verses in all the Bible. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Let's read verse 10 too, because it says, for if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We need to understand that if there's a problem that man has brought on himself because of our sin against God, God has provided the solution. He knows the answers to this test, and he's paid for it himself. Sin is a big deal. I hate sin. I hate injustice. I hate when we turn on the TV and we see something awful that mankind has done. I hate when we get a phone call and we hear about something terrible that has gone on. I hate when we have done something in our heart and in our mind and with our words that have begun to destroy relationships, our relationship with God, our relationship with others. And sin corrupts, it defiles, and destroys. And I don't like it. And it's a big deal. And God is not going to just let it off the hook. Sometimes I get frustrated when somebody does something wrong and they get caught for it. And in my wisdom or whatever, I think that this is the punishment that they should get. And they don't face any consequences for their actions. Frustrates me. But God, from heaven, he understands that sin is serious. And when someone does something against him or against another man, it's big. It's a big deal. And there's a price that has to be paid. And that price has to cost a lot. And I can't pay for it. And neither can you. The payment was his blood. And Hebrews chapter 4 in verse 15 talks about his blood that he shed for us on the cross. And I so often thank God for his precious blood. And I thank him for what it means. He paid for our sins on the cross, and he is part of our payment. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, there yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I thank God that he paid for our sin on the cross. And that the next thing I think that we need to understand is that Christ alone is our Savior, and that he is the only way to salvation. I think we can have a lot of conversations with a lot of people, and as we talk to them, we can hear, "Oh, do you believe in God?" "Oh yeah, I believe in God." "Do you think you're going to heaven?" "Yeah, I think I go to heaven. I'm a pretty good person." Okay, but what about your relationship with Jesus Christ? What's your relationship with him? What do you believe about him? Who do you believe that he is? Where do you put Jesus into this picture? And that's where it really becomes very important. We find a person's true intentions and what they believe about the Word of God and what they believe about Jesus Christ. All through the New Testament, I find that what makes an eternal difference in your life is how you treat Jesus Christ and what you do with him and his gift. I love Acts 4:12. Acts 4:12, which talks about how Christ is the only way to salvation. There it says in Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Christ alone is the Savior. And as we're having that conversation, we need to be very clear about that. That if they're going to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that there's only one way. And it's only through Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 14, where Jesus begins, he begins, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He takes it beyond, "Do you believe in God?" Because there's a lot of people that will say, "Do you believe in God?" Jesus says, "If you believe in God, you also have to believe in me." And in 14 and verse 6, he really clamps it down a little harder. He says, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And as we look at this, remember how I told you that one of my clearest memories sitting with Dad was him talking about Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God who died in my place. That has stuck with me forever. The fact that Jesus Christ bore my sins, that he died for me in my place. And I think that it's important that people understand that and they get it. And 1 John talks a lot about that. Let's hop over to 1 John tonight. 1 John, And let's look at how Christ died in our place. In 1 John 2:2, it says, "And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." And 1 John 4:10, says, "In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Remember when we were talking about the mercy seat a few weeks ago, and we were talking about that word mercy throughout the scripture. One of the most interesting things that I found is that when we look at the New Testament and we see that word propitiation, it can literally be translated mercy seat. And so I look at this word here and I think Christ was, he is our mercy seat, where the blood was sprinkled, where an animal was sacrificed in our place. But this wasn't the blood of bulls and goats. This was the perfect, sinless, spotless blood of Jesus Christ that grants us the relationship, the fellowship with God. Because the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant, that was where the people, where God would dwell with the people. And that's where the blood was sprinkled to make atonement for sins. And Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of that. He would establish that right relationship. He would fix the sin problem. So we need to first establish that sin is a problem that you can't fix yourself. And next, we have to establish that Jesus Christ is the solution to sin. His precious blood, his sinless life, he's the only way to salvation. There's no other way. And as we begin to learn these things and teach these things to people, let them know that there really is a difference with our relationship with Jesus Christ, and that it's worth it. We can have that right relationship restored. And it can change your life, your soul, forever. That's amazing. And so tonight we talked about sin and God's solution for our sin. Next week I'd like us to look at salvation as a free gift. I think that's important. That's just as important that people understand that it's a free gift. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. We can't do anything of our own merit to receive it. We need to believe. The importance that confessing our belief in Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about the fact that it's the work of God that saves somebody. It's not Matt talking to somebody that gets somebody saved and goes to heaven. It's not sometimes you'll get like a new Christian and they might say something like, "Oh, you know, Doug Taft, he got me saved." No, it wasn't Doug Taft. It was the work of God the Father. It was Jesus Christ's blood on the cross. It wasn't some special person or because then we'd all be fighting for that, I got that person saved. And that's not what it's all about. It's about Christ. And we share Christ because we love him. And he's changed our hearts. And we want to see that same change in someone else. I'm going to heaven. Can't wait. And I want to see as many people go with me on the way. And I'm so glad that Jesus saved me. And I want other people to understand that he can do the same for them. They might look, when we begin to talk, sometimes when we go witnessing, we're just so excited about it. And we might start talking about Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, and at first they might not get it. But then as we begin to share and we begin to tell what God's done in our life, the Holy Spirit will begin to move, begin to stir. We got to plant that seed, plant that seed, plant that seed. Water it a little bit. And just keep bringing up these things. Invite them out to church. Show them what a changed life has done for you. And eventually, you get it. Accept Christ as as God begins. And that's just as important for us to understand, is that it's God that does the work. It's our responsibility to plant the seed, to share, and let God work. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the gift of your blood, the payment that you made. And God, I picture the sin in my life. I have done so many things that separated me from a right relationship with you. I've done so many things that make me deserve eternity separated from you. But Lord, you, like I think about Romans 5:8, you demonstrated your love for us and you died for us. Thank you. Thank you so much for what you've done. I pray that you might excite us about this. Just new and refresh over and over again until wherever we go, we'll be a witness for you. And might you get the increase. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in the lives of these people. I thank you for just the testimonies of people who've gotten chances to share their faith. I'm so excited, and that blesses me so much. I pray that you might give us opportunity this week. In Jesus' name, amen.